Who directs the orchestra? Papa was pleased with how we performed in Frankfurt. Our purses were full again, our expenses for the trip covered. My father spent the night counting out the coins, nodding and smiling at Mama, and in the morning he bought her a necklace hung with a sapphire teardrop at its base that shone like starlight. For Wufrul, he bought a tidy new notebook of paper so that my brother could continue his relentless composing. For me, he bought a new cap to match my dress. He was so pleased that when a local count invited him to the opera, my father paid for us all to come with him. Wufrul and I had never been to an opera before. Papa had always been too worried that we could not sit through a performance without wriggling in our seats. So I tried to keep my composure and remember the lessons Mama had taught me. I needed to behave like a proper young lady. Still, my eyes wandered up to the opera house's grand arched entrances and white pillars and down to its veined marble floors and rich velvet carpets. Gold banisters, curved stairways, and ceilings covered in rich paintings. The nobles attended these every week. I wondered if they still gaped in awe each time, and if the sights and sounds could still take their breaths away. Wufrul held my hand in earnest, and stared so hard at the gentlemen and ladies we passed that I feared I would need to catch him if he fell. We settled with Papa and Mama in our own balcony. In a private box near us, a group of spectators had already taken out their playing cards and started a game, while down below, young men filed through the aisles to flirt with the ladies. They were all beautiful, I thought. Women in wide, sweeping skirts and ruffled half-sleeves, their headdresses adorned with feathers, and gentlemen on their arms with shining jackets and bright, blinking canes. As they flitted about below, I began to imagine that we were in the kingdom, and that I sat alone on a giant root of an upside-down tree, quietly looking on as the kingdom's creatures, these colorful birds, gathered below me. I imagined them turned in my direction, staring back up at me and smiling. I glanced at Wufrul, who in turn watched the opera stage in anticipation. When I told him about my vision of the plumed birds, we grinned together at the absurdity of it and tried to think of strange names for them.
Papageno, Wufrul declared one of the more ridiculous headdresses, and mouthed the name so comically,
Papageno, that he dissolved into giggles. I hushed him even as we laughed conspiratorially.
You will get us kicked out.
No, I won't, he replied, as we rose with the orchestra for the conductor. I'll be down there one day, and it will be me they clamor for.
What do you mean?
I will be before the orchestra, he said, clapping along. Someday I'll write an aria, Nonnerl. The most difficult aria ever written, and they'll clap for me even louder than this.
I laughed. You put yourself above Herr Handel. Don't you know the King of England himself once stood in delight for his oratorio?
A grin of delight crossed his cherubic face.
When I play, the kings of Europe will all stand for the entirety of my opera.
He would be directing the orchestra, I realized, and the premonition in his words appeared before me in all its future splendor, him, a young man in a red coat, weaving his music to life. I would be on the ground, staring upward to see my brother at the top of the upside-down tree. I would be a lady with feathers in her wig and no quill in her hand, looking on in silence. Suddenly, I felt angry at Wufrul, though I knew it was not his fault. I thought of his outlandish antics on stage, the way people adored him for it. They would relish him even more when he was grown, fawn over his winking eyes and quicksilver smile. And I, it was impossible for me to do the same. The truth of that burned in my chest, hollowing me out from the inside.
No matter how talented I was, no matter how well I performed or how much I charmed, I could never stand where Wulfril would. From a higher balcony, I spied Hyacinth with a hand of cards. He turned to watch us, his blue eyes glowing. I looked up by instinct and met his gaze. At long last, he was here. He stared at me for a moment, reading the weight in my eyes, tapping the cards thoughtfully against his cheek. Then, finally, he smiled. Wulfril waited for me to respond to his declaration about putting on an opera, but I pretended that I could not hear him through the applause.